Haines first responders struggle with an antiquated dispatch system. And Alaska State Troopers issue a report on a recent commercial fishing fatality. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Alaska State Troopers released an incident report this week on the fishing accident that claimed the life of Haines resident Ted Lynch. Lynch and his deckhand were pulling shrimp pots in Tai Inlet on October 23rd when he fell overboard from his boat, the Darlin Michelle. In the incident report, Lynch's brother-in-law, who was working as his deckhand, explains his attempts to rescue Lynch. Terrence Moniz said he immediately threw a life ring to his captain, but Lynch wasn't able to keep a hold of it as Moniz pulled him in. Then, Moniz said he was able to grab Lynch's life vest with a gaff hook and almost had him aboard, but the line on the gaff hook broke. He then tried to lasso him with a rope, but during that attempt, Lynch's life vest slipped off and Moniz lost sight of him. Moniz used the VHF radio to call for help, troopers report. The call went out to local boat traffic and the Coast Guard. Several agencies and Good Samaritans responded to help search for Lynch. Skagway Harbor personnel and a Temsco helicopter searched the area. The state trooper from Haines and Haines Harbor personnel also responded. Several private boat owners from both communities helped as well. It was reported in newspaper articles at the time that Moniz hadn't been able to give his precise location at the time of the accident. But in his interview with troopers, Moniz said some of Lynch's equipment was password protected. According to other fishermen familiar with the Darlin Michelle, Lynch interfaced his GPS system with his laptop, which, if it was password protected, may have prevented Moniz from pinpointing his exact location. Moniz also told troopers he and Lynch had drank beer that morning, but troopers in their report do not say if alcohol was thought to be a contributing factor in the accident. The Coast Guard ordered troopers to test Moniz, but said there were no conclusive results. Moniz was not cited or charged with any infraction. Members of Lynch's family did not want to speak on tape, but did emphasize that Lynch, a lifelong fisherman, was particular about safety on his boat. Lynch routinely wore flotation gear while commercial salmon fishing and shrimping, and he was wearing a life vest when he went overboard. According to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health Statistics on commercial fishing in Alaska, vessel disasters and man overboards are the biggest cause of fatalities in the industry. Lynch was subscribing to the first safety rule suggested by NIOSH, wearing flotation gear. The agency also suggests commercial captains and crews should have a man overboard alarm system and conduct man overboard drills. To that end, the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association Executive Director Jerry Dugan says he's been talking with the Haines Community Education Program about offering some man overboard safety courses and trainings before the start of the 2013 commercial fishing season. Lynch was the second local fisherman to drown after falling overboard this season. Richard Boyce was also lost at sea after he fell overboard while commercial salmon fishing on July 4th. The Coast Guard is also preparing an incident report on Lynch's accident. The Coast Guard reports usually focus more on the marine conditions of an accident, where the troopers don't solely focus on marine aspects. But Dugan of the Safety Education Association said both trooper and Coast Guard reports are very objective and can often fail to address more subjective factors in marine accidents, like any possible fatigue, health, or emotional factors. For more information on marine safety and commercial fishing, visit the websites for the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association or the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, part of the Centers for Disease Control. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday with an agenda that includes some information about repairs to the Skagway ore dock. The Assembly will discuss a request for comment from the Army Corps of Engineers regarding proposed repairs to the dock. The Corps says White Pass Yukon Railroad has filed a permit to replace 12 degraded wooden piles with 12 new steel piles at the dock. A letter from White Pass parent company Club Link Chairman and CEO Ray Sahi details the plans the company has to address the ore dock repairs. He writes that permit applications have been filed, contractors have been contacted, and the necessary piles for making repairs have been purchased and delivered to Skagway. Sahi writes he expects the actual repairs to begin in early 2013. The Assembly will also consider allocating funds to the Historic District Commission's Color Palette Project, allocating some additional funding for the library expansion project, and amending an agreement with the state to exclude all seasonal employees from the public employees retirement system. The Assembly will also discuss several items under new business, including renewing an agreement with the borough's lobbyist. The meeting begins at 7 p.m. Thursday in Skagway Assembly Chambers. You used to be able to set your watch to the noontime siren every day in Haines, but things have been quiet lately since the siren stopped working in late October. The siren is part of an interconnected system that also stopped working. Haines emergency dispatchers normally use two different loud tones to notify first responders to an emergency. A beeping tone is used for fire emergencies, and a warble tone is used for EMS or ambulance calls. Those tones are sent out over pagers or radios that the emergency and volunteer fire responders each carry. But the fire tone, siren, and fire radio all stopped working at the same time. That equipment is all dependent on a central console at the dispatch center. While the fire tone was not working, dispatchers used the EMS tone for both kinds of emergencies. Although Police Chief Gary Lowe says it's unclear why one of the tones was still working while the other isn't.
It's all wired into this console that we have here, and if I knew why it was working, one was working and the other wasn't working, I'd have the expertise to fix it.
Chief Lowe calls the system antiquated.
I know they don't even sell parts for it anymore.
The borough already had plans in the works to upgrade the system, even before the most recent complications. Funding has been secured, and the chief said a request for proposal is being drafted. But it will still take several months before the new system will be installed after a proposal is secured.
If we would start today and the RFP got issued today, there still is going to be several months before a new system would be in place.
Until then, Chief Lowe says he's been trying to find a technician that can temporarily fix the current system. He said the Haines Radio Shack had previously done some work on the dispatch console, but they were unable to fix the current problem. An Anchorage communications company agreed to send a technician to Haines to troubleshoot the issue at a cost of about $2,200 to the borough. The company was delayed in coming to Haines, but a technician is expected within the next week, according to Lowe. While the EMS tone is currently working, Haines volunteer fire chief Scott Bradford said there was concern recently among firefighters that that tone was also on the fritz.
I know a few fire calls, one in just this last weekend, we had a chimney fire that the warble didn't come out, and I know several firemen had contacted me and missed the call. They didn't hear it. So it has happened.
Chief Lowe said he hasn't heard of any reports of not enough personnel responding to recent emergencies because of the tone problems.
I talked with our dispatch supervisor about this yesterday, and there have in the past, if they don't get enough people to respond, then someone will say, make a second call out. And we have not had to make a second call out. There has been enough responders for everything that we've had here in the last couple of months.
Bradford said it's still a little difficult for some volunteers to adapt and to try to keep an ear to their pagers and radios to decipher the different emergency calls coming across.
Well, it's kind of like you probably have a cell phone and your mind, when it, your phone rings, it's instant. You know that sound, and so that's kind of how the siren and the warble is. You get that mindset, that's the sound you're listening for, and whenever you hear that particular tone, you're at attention.
Borough Manager Mark Ernest said in an email that he's unsure at this point how the borough or assembly might proceed to get the upgrade underway as soon as possible. He said he's authorized to expend up to $10,000 without assembly approval, or up to $50,000 if the situation is considered an emergency. The issue will likely also come up at the next Haines Borough Assembly meeting on December 11th. Thirty-three-year-old Alaska Native artist Nicholas Gallinan of Southeast Alaska has won a $50,000 fellowship for artistic excellence. The National Artists Advocacy Organization, United States Artists, awarded Gallinan of Sitka the USA Rasmussen Foundation in the Crafts and Traditional Arts category. The group announced the 54 grant recipients, who include visual artists, writers, and musicians, this week in Los Angeles. Gallinan grew up watching his father create art, and after he graduated high school, the 18-year-old decided to become an artist full-time. He was working for the National Park Service at the Russian Bishop's House and was told that during his downtime he couldn't draw but had to read books on Russian history.
From that point on, that I'm going to do what I love, and I'm going to do it passionately. I feel great and alive and invested in my time, and I feel like I'm investing it wisely.
Gallinan is an artist of many media and combines the traditional and contemporary in his work. A 2006 two-part video he produced shows a Tlingit dancer moving to techno music and a non-native breakdancer moving to a Tlingit song.
It is a huge risk. Everything about creativity is a risk, from creating work to sharing your work to voicing your ideas and experiences. But that's something that every artist has to overcome in order to create.
United States Artists has awarded $17.5 million to America's most innovative artists in the past 7 years. Gallinan doesn't yet know how he will use the grant, but says it'll help him keep doing what he loves. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.